من هنا اصلا
يعني شاي من الكنتر من هنا بس هبسته
شلوم خبرا. So I usually don't like the formality of this lot and like the podium. So Baruch Hashem, I'm dressed down a little bit for the occasion. I have like the boots and everything, so I think it balances out the equation. We're thinking a lot about Shiva Mitzrayim and how to get out of it, how to get to Eretz Yisrael, how to get out of our galus. I think people in YU are thinking less about Shiva Mitzrayim, more about Shiva midterms. They're like that Avodas Parach that like never lets up. It's like constantly attacking you at every single turn. It's like, it's kind of like, despite the Yeshua of Purim, you wake up the next day and you realize you're still Avdei Achashverosh, or Avdei, that teacher who was jerk enough to give you a test right after Purim, and like happens every single year. And it's relentless, it keeps on going. I want to talk a little bit about how to survive Galus and how to make sure that we get to Pesach with a Rechosh Gadol, how to feel like we're getting something in our back pockets. So just for the record, somebody canceled last minute, so this is like last minute, so it might be a little raw, but we'll see how it comes out. Do our best. Jews don't always survive the Galus. It's a little bit of a sad fact. We know the famous Rashi, Chamushim Avu Mi Mitzrayim, where Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, Chamushim, quotes the Mechilta, that only a fifth of Klal Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim. Four-fifths of Klal Yisrael perish in Makas Choshech. And the question that you have to ask is, who are those Jews that perished during Makas Choshech? Who are the ones who didn't get out? So usually the answer that I think most people would give, usually, is the Rishayim, like the worst of the worst. Like, you know, we were on the lowest levels of Tumah. But those people who were so bad, we just couldn't let them get out. Those people couldn't leave Mitzrayim. The problem with that pshat is that you read through Sefer Bamidbar, read through other Svarim in the Torah, and you come across Pesukim like this, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohath ben Levi v'dasam v'aviram, ne'eliyav. Like, seriously? Like, these guys didn't die already? It's like more than 80% of Klal Yisrael has died in Magefa after Magefa. It's like everybody is like dropping like flies. And Dasam Aviram, Bechvodam Uatzlam, they're the ones who have survived all this time. They're the ones who are still around. They get through Choshev, they get through everything. Why are they the ones who are still alive? It's clear that Rishayim were capable of getting through the Galus of Mitzrayim. They were capable of getting through Magas Choshech, and other people weren't. And the question was, why? What was the difference between people like Dasam Aviram? What was the difference between the people, the fifth, that managed to get through that Galus and the people who didn't? The crazy thing about that Medrash, about Chamushim Alum Mitzrayim, is it shows something very, very deep, which is you do not have to be a tzaddik gamar to get out of Mitzrayim. You don't have to be a tzaddik. You don't have to be that perfect guy who's up and on time for every single Dvarim Shepa Kedusha that's in your schedule. You don't have to be that guy who's always excelling in everything. You don't have to be the person who's always on your game. You could be somebody who's very, very flawed, and you could still be the person who gets out of that Choshech. You need one thing. When you're covered by Galus and you're being smothered by Choshech, there are two things that you could do. You can roll over and die. You could be the person who decides that it's not fair and that it's too much and I can't survive and I failed already. I am a failure. And you can throw up your hands and give up. It happens all the time. And you'll be one of those four-fifths people who don't make it out of Makas Choshech. People who just give up and never make it out of their Shiva Mitzrayim. They're the ones who just lay there in the darkness, never get up. Or you could be that person who's extremely annoyingly stubborn, who never gives up and always gets up out of bed, which means that no matter how many times you might fail, no matter how many times you get destroyed by an inhumane schedule that even the strongest Talmud of Volozhin would not be able to stand up against. It doesn't matter how many times Paro lashes you for not filling your brick quota. No matter how many days that you haven't fulfilled everything that you had on your list that you wanted to do that day. You still get up the next morning and you still show up to work and you still show up to do everything that you can do. Akshan Gadol. It's one of my favorite lines from Rabbi Nachman. I don't know much about Rabbi Nachman. I'm still working on it. One of my favorite lines from Likutei Maharan. To be stubborn, stubborn, stubborn. I never give up makom. I never give up where I am. And when I get pushed back and I failed, I still get up again. And I go back to exactly where I was. And I keep on trying. And I keep on trying. To be an akshan, to be somebody who's really annoyingly stubborn and never gives up, no matter how many times you might get knocked down. That is the person who succeeds in getting out of Galus Mitzrayim. The person who gets up in the morning, no matter what has happened, puts on tefillin, Dobbins shows up to this base medrash and does whatever they can. The other base medrash. Sorry, guys. Apologize for anybody. That is the person who succeeds in getting out of Galus Choshech. There's a very geshmak ritva in our Masechta. If anybody sees my ritva, I've been missing it for like a month. And I lost it sometime in Night Seder, so if anybody can find it. Chavrus is laughing. Okay. There's a famous gemara that we're all familiar with, the Mishnah in Sukkah. Yardu gesham me'emas ha'imot ha'fanos, right? When gesham start falling, when the rain starts falling in your Sukkah, when can you leave? So, the Mishnah says, mashal o mashal. It says, there's a mashal that's comparable to this case. The Eved comes to serve his Adon. He comes to serve him, and the somebody pours something in somebody else's face. Somebody takes the ketone and pours it into the other person's face. And the Gemara in the next Talmud, Zechav Tesam Rahav, says, Iboilu, I have a basic, very simple question, two-sided question. Mi shafach lami. Who's pouring on who? Is it the Adon pouring on the Eved? Or is the Eved pouring on the Adon? And the question of this Gemara is very, very obvious, and the Ritva already points it out. It's very obvious who's pouring on who. You're sitting in the Sukkah, and it's raining on you. God provides rain. That means that God is pouring water on your face. That means God does not want you in the Sukkah. God is the one who's taking your avoda and throwing it back into your face. What's the other side of the Gemara? That it's as if you're throwing something in God's face? That the Eved is throwing into the Adon's face? I don't cause rain. I'm not the one who's throwing water at anybody. Listen to this Ritva. He asked the Kasha, Mutter the final sminadin. Ritva says, maybe it's true that you could leave. When it starts raining, maybe it's mutter to leave at some point. The person who does that is akin to the person who's serving his master. The Rebbe isn't so interested in everything that he's doing. The Rebbe is not necessarily looking and paying attention to what he's doing. Immediately pours out the water. Any wrote to the Sham Sheikh, I don't want to do anything anymore. It's over. And walks out. V'idu king, says the Ritva, if this was true, even as your dish gets ruined and as the rain is pouring into your sukkah, you shouldn't get up. Yeah, you think that your Adam is not looking at you. The Adam may have looked away for a couple of seconds. You feel like you've been abandoned a little bit. You feel like your avodah doesn't matter. Maybe there's a little bit of rain in your life. Maybe there's a little bit of rain in all the things that you do in your life. You're davening. You're learning. Every single time you wake up, you feel like there's a rain cloud over your head. So, buckle down. Cross your arms, sit down in the sukkah, and stop giving up. And don't leave the sukkah. Don't be boy at the sukkah. The only reason, says the Ritva, why you're chayv to leave the sukkah is because we have a Kabbalah from Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you in the sukkah. If it weren't for that Kabbalah, you would be chayv to sit down and let the rain pour on your head. As everything gets ruined around you, you stay in that sukkah. You don't leave that sukkah. The Nasi earlier in the year compared this Beis Medrash to a sukkah. This Beis Medrash is a sukkah, and we do not have a Kabbalah from Chazal that you're supposed to leave as soon as it starts raining. You sit down in this Beis Medrash, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how cold it gets, no matter how much rain falls on your head, and you keep on learning. And every single morning, now how late you come in, no matter how many times you may have messed up, you get up in the morning and you show up. No matter how late it might be, it doesn't matter. Akshan Gadol Ba'avodas Hashem means the person, no matter how much it rains on you, no matter how much it looks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu might be spitting in your face, kiviyachol, that is the person who still gets up and sits down in the Beis Medrash and learns. And we're so convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about our avodah. We're so convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking at us. Sometimes it just takes a couple of seconds to realize that he's looking at us the entire time. The Ritva is just telling us that you have to persevere. You have to always be there. It's one of my favorite nitzivs. We have plenty of time. I might end early. I didn't really have time to prepare anything anyway, so see how this goes. The nitziv talks about a famous pasuk that we love singing at tishas. We love singing at kum tzitzis. Chol ha'sa'ava ani. One of the more beautiful pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It is a beautiful pasuk. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to dismiss that. I'm lovesick. Right? The famous pasuk appears several times. The Netziv is a very powerful parish of this pasuk. I've mentioned it many times. It says, everybody explains this pasuk in a particular way. Parish chol asahava, loka parish amafarshim, shani cholda mirova ava. Everybody explains this pasuk, says the Netziv. Everybody explains it as, I'm so in love with the Baruch Hashem, I just can't contain it. I'm constantly talking about it, I'm constantly thinking about it. I feel totally overwhelmed by love. All I do, everything is totally amazing. I feel like so close to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's like a love affair. It's exactly what the Rambam describes in Perek Yud of Hilchos Teshuva, as the Netziv points out, that absolute love where I'm totally obsessed with the Ribono Shel Olam and all I can think about is the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the way everybody explains this pasuk, says the Netziv. He says, Nirech Shepirushal Bahefek. Actually, I think it's the exact opposite to the Netziv. That's not what Chol HaSa'ava means. Chol HaSa'ava doesn't mean that I'm so in love that all I can think about is my love for the Ribono Shel Olam. Shani Chola Al Avas Hashem. I am sick because I don't have any love for the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm sick because I desperately need the love of the Ribono Shel Olam. I desperately need a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, and I can't get it because I'm sitting in Golos, and every single day I wake up and I don't feel it. I need your help, the Ribono Shel Olam. I am sick. I need your love. A sick person can't eat food. He knows that he needs it. He knows he needs to be able to swallow it. But for some reason, he feels so nauseous that he just can't get it down. And he begs the Rofe, he begs the Ribono Shel Olam, just heal me. Give me the Ava that I need. Chol HaSa'ava does not mean that I'm always obsessed with the Ribono Shel Olam. It means that I know that I desperately need the love of the Ribono Shel Olam. It means that I wake up every single day, and despite the fact that it might look really bad outside and it might look really disgusting outside, and I don't feel that love and I feel extremely cold, especially as it's snowing really, really hard, I still beg the Rabbi Shalom to give me that Ava, and I come to the Beis Medrash and I beg for him to give it to me. And no matter how long it takes, no matter how many years it might take, I'm always begging him to give it to me. That's the Matzav of Galus. There are some people, Yechidei school, who could maybe be Zocha to that level of Ava that the Rambam describes in Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Yud. Halavai, it should be by all of us. But that's not what life really is. That's not what life in Galus is, and that's not what life here is. We know that. We know we're not Cholos Ava in the way that people describe it. It's exactly what the Netziv is saying. Cholos Ava means that we know what we need, and we just can't get it. And we beg the Rebbe Shalom to give it to us. My brother is a big runner, for anybody who knows him, a little brother. So there's a book that's called the Runner's Bible. It's like worshipped by competitive runners around the world. It's called Once a Runner. So I'll be honest, I read it. It wasn't such a good book, but there are certain parts of it that are awesome. There are certain parts of it that are incredible. For some reason, I don't know why sports mashalim sometimes have that like power to them. I don't exactly understand why. We know that from this past week also. Sometimes it somehow captures our imagination. I think it's because we grew up in America. The book describes, he's a college athlete, and Quentin Cassidy, he's trying to become one of the best runners in the world. He wants to run but some sub 4 minute mile. That's like his life's goal. And he has this intense training regimen. And in the middle of the book, he starts talking about the people who describe the zone, or like the running euphoria, how good it feels when like you're in that zone where you're running so hard and like nothing could stop you and you feel so good about yourself. You're cholos ahava. No matter how many, like I'm totally obsessed with it. I love learning and I love davening. It's amazing. Those people who love talking about how amazing it feels do all the things that we desperately want to do. Listen to this. This is a direct quote. Quentin Cassidy knew what the mystic runners, the joggers, the runner poets, the Zen runners, and others of their ilk were talking about. But he also knew that their euphoric selves were generally nowhere to be seen on dark, rainy mornings. They primarily wanted to talk it, not do it. Cassidy very early on understood that a true runner ran even when he didn't feel like it and raced when he was supposed to, without excuses and with nothing held back. Listen to this. What was the secret they wanted to know? In 1,000 different ways, they wanted to know the secret. And not one of them was prepared, truly prepared to believe that it had not so much to do with chemicals and zippy mental tricks as with that most unprofound and sometimes heartrending process of removing molecule by molecule the very tough rubber that comprised the bottoms of his training shoes. Becoming an Eved Hashem, becoming somebody who excels in a Kadosh Baruch, in getting close to the Rebbe Shalom, has nothing to do with zippy mental tricks and special magic tricks that you pull out of your back pocket. We're always looking for the secret. We look up to those people that we respect so much, and we want to be like them, and we have no idea how they became what they became, and we're looking for all of those secrets, those things that will make all of the things that we struggle with just go away in a flash. Whatever it is, the girl that I'm supposed to marry, whatever it is, the new limud, the new Rebbe, the new chavrusa, that one little magical thing, a meditation session, a new tefillah, some kind of new thing that's going to make all my problems just vanish. And now I'll be able to run as much as I want and nothing will ever stop me. I'll be in the zone. I'll be in the Zen mode. And nothing will ever be able to stop me again. It's an illusion. It doesn't exist. There is no such thing as the Zen runners. And they are nowhere to be found on dark, rainy mornings. Because as soon as it gets a little hard, and as soon as it gets a little cold, as soon as it turns from Boker Lalila, which happens every single day, they are now nowhere to be found. Because they don't feel a connection with their Rebbe Shalom when it's Lila. They feel like that's what they're supposed to do. And if they don't have it, they decide to give up. All of those things are so important. We're looking at all these different things to get our fix. We're looking at the Rambam Hinuch L'Sdeios, we're looking at the Tanya. We're looking at all these different things to make sure that we can be that person that we want to be. But ultimately, all those things are extremely helpful. Don't get me wrong. The Sifrei Musar, all the tricks that you can come up with, you should use. But ultimately, there's only one solution. That is, an Eved Hashem wakes up on a cold, dark, rainy morning, and even though the last thing that he wants to do is get up out of bed, he tightens his sneakers and he keeps on running. He never stops. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how hard it might be, no matter how much he's been pushed down into the ground, he gets up. That's it. It's not a secret. That's what Dveikus B'Kadosh Baruch Hu involves. Dveikus B'Kadosh Baruch Hu involves the person who realizes that I'm not going to wait for the sunny morning to be able to get up and head to the Beis Medrash. I always get up and I go. There's a famous Rashi when we talk about the beginning of the Karshei HaMishkan, when we talk about the building of the Mishkan, and suddenly we have these like massive pieces of wood in the middle of the desert, in the Midbar. So Rashi already picks up on the question, like how on earth are they getting these humongous pieces of wood in the middle of the Midbar? And the answer is that Yaakov Avinu, when he came down to Mitzrayim, decided that he was going to plant the Karshei HaMishkan, which he knew these trees were going to end up being that which would be used to be built for the Mishkan. If you think about it for a second, Rabbi Yosef Leib was one of the Talmidim of Kelm. He was killed in the Holocaust. Shem Yikom Dama. He said, think about what it was like for Yaakov sitting in Mitzrayim with the heat pounding on his neck, and he's planting that tree. What do people around him see when he's doing that? What do they see? They see, like, planting trees. They look very, very normal. In fact, it's probably very hard to plant the trees. It takes a lot of effort. And there don't seem to be any particular toelis. In fact, it wasn't until hundreds of years later that anybody would even have a havamina that there could be something that could be used for these trees. He's sitting in the middle of Gullus, in the middle of the Korah Barzel. The crucible is closing in tight. Closing in very, very tight. The pressure and the heat is starting to build. And he's planting trees. And the trees are totally useless. They are useless because who's going to use trees in the middle of Mitzrayim? We don't need any of these trees. And suddenly, hundreds of years later, once you leave that Mitzrayim and you take those trees out, suddenly everybody realizes that this is the Mishkan. This is the Makom HaShechinah. This is what I need to enable the Kadosh Baruch Hu to enter into my life. We are unable to realize that. Yaakov Avinu was able to see that. A lot of times we feel like we're planting and we're planting and we're planting, and we're in the middle of Gullus Mitzrayim, and we're in the middle of the darkest area, we're in the middle of the Shibud midterms, and we're planting constantly, and nothing's growing. And even if things do grow, it doesn't seem to be like doing anything. So I know a couple more blot in Masechas Sukkah, Mazel Tov. I know a couple more blot in Masechas Beitzah, for all of us who are Zoka. I know a couple more Ein Shirim that my Rebbe gave, and now I know, and I feel nothing. There's no connection. I don't feel like there are any trees sprouting. I don't feel any Mishkan. I don't feel any Makom HaVashras Ashkina. And as soon as you leave that Makom HaGolos for just a couple of days, you'll finally realize that suddenly those massive trees that you planted back there suddenly is exactly what you could use to build the Mishkan. Those things that you thought were useless, those things that you put so much effort, the blood, sweat, and tears, and the toil that you thought were totally useless because you were in the middle of Mitzrayim and you could think of no use for them, and suddenly you're out of that Mitzrayim and suddenly you have massive trees to build a huge Mishkan for the Makom HaVashras Hashkina in your life. You can't give up and you can't just lie over and die just because the Choshek gets really dark and because you can't see where you're going. You can't be the type of person who decides that I'm going to stop running because it's a little rainy and because it's a little snowy. You can't be the type of person, no matter how hard the schedule gets, no matter how inhumane it might be, no matter how many midterms you might get, and how unfair your teachers might be, it doesn't matter. You can't be that person who gives up, no matter how many times you fail. The person who plants a Mitzrayim is the person who reaps the Mishkan once they get out of that Mitzrayim. That's the person who's Ruah of Makom HaVashras Hashkina. There's something that's extremely important that Rabbi Nachman always points out. After all that time that you think that you've been working so hard and that the Rebbe Shalom doesn't care and nothing really matters, suddenly you'll realize that the Rebbe Shalom cared the entire time and was really looking at you and begging you to come forward every single step of the way. As soon as you get out of that Mitzrayim, you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there behind you the entire time. Chavra, there's just a couple more weeks till Pesach. Let's just tear the rubber off of our training sneakers.